Because here's the thing, Melissa and I first worked together, gosh, what was it, 13 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, probably.
So anyway, we worked together on some video projects for a company that shall not be named. However, it was the place where we met and got to know each other. Me on the creative side of the fence, Melissa on the operational side of the fence for this company. And then I guess maybe about 6 months ago, we might have run into each other at a meet and greet event here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm located and she is as well. Although I'm not so sure you are now.
I am still in Madison, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. The whole point is that even though we worked together 15 years ago, we had a professional time that was, I think, satisfying to both of us, and no bridges were ever burned, so there was the opportunity for us to get reacquainted. And the second that I started going, okay, well, maybe I should reach out, because you were building your personal brand, you have some what I would call soul hustles going on and things like that, I see that you're now working, I guess, full-time for another company. Is that true?
I'm actually looking for full-time employment. So I'm jumping back into the corporate world. My passion is hospitality and serving people. So I'm kind of exploring things there. My husband and I talked about it. We're trying to figure out what area of the country we want to live in. And we've got it narrowed down to our top 5 locations. So we are planning on moving. Don't know where, don't know when. But in the meantime, yeah, just out pounding the pavement there and also doing some other consulting things.
And here's the thing. I mean, I wanted to have you on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast because you, like everybody else who's been in, you know, business for more than 10 weeks, has seen a number of changes in their career over time. And the whole concept of nonfiction branding, especially on the personal branding side of it, is that a lot of us have built incredible personal brands hidden behind somebody else's corporate logo. Certainly, I know you. I know your qualities. I know your quality and can vouch for it. But anybody outside of working directly with you would not necessarily have the same understanding of who you are, what you do, and how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, and I'm going to speak from my own experience for a second and say doing that behind someone else's logo is not a good thing long term, because you put in all this effort, you put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and then one day someone walks into your office with a banker's box and says, we'd like to escort you out the door today. Why? Because
Right. You're
experienced, you're excellent, you're expensive, and therefore expendable. I like to call those the X years. So welcome
right.
welcome to the X years. And it sounds to me like you're in a bit of that flux time yourself right now.
And it's interesting too. And I completely agree with you on building your own brand inside of whatever corporate brand you're doing. You know, hindsight's 20/20. And had I known back then what I know now, a couple of things I would have done differently is continue to stay connected in the community. And I didn't do that. I was completely all into my corporate job. It was my corporate world. It was my corporate life for 20 years. And although I had a great personal brand with that company and people inside that company and even the industry knew what I could do, outside of that, no one cared. So to stay connected, and that's one piece of advice that I give for people, whether you're at a corporate, in a corporate job, or working for someone and building your own personal brand while working with someone else, or whether you're an entrepreneur out building your personal brand, it's important that you know that it's your life and you need to have that identity to be able to stand alone.
Exactly, because you never know when things will change. Sometimes
Right. Change
happens because, I don't know, a corporate acquisition happens and all of a sudden you're redundant or not necessary, or, you know, there's some type of strategic directional change within your business. Sometimes
Right. It
could be on your side of the fence, which is maybe it's a health issue or a family member needs your help in a much more significant way. Consequently, mm-hmm. you need to get out of a 60 plus hour a week job and into something a lot more balanced so that you can help that family member.
Right.
Sometimes it's just you want to get and maintain your own personal balance in mm-hmm. a way that perhaps your corporate employer doesn't want you to. So
Right. It
behooves you to build your personal brand. And you're saying, especially, and I agree with you 100%, locally, whether you think you're going to need that local brand awareness or not, you definitely could, and it could happen at the drop of a hat or pick up a phone call. Ah, you're no longer needed. I go from here?
Well, and bottom line is it's all about connections, right? Connections are goals. And it, so it's building that relationship. And there's really four different kinds of connections that are there, because you've got your connections with a leader to a team, right? And you don't know, like I still communicate and I'm good friends with people that I hired in my 20s, many years ago, a few decades actually. And I still follow their career path, and they have gone on and created their own personal brand and their personal image of what they are. You've got that customer experience relationship, and it's all about like who you're communicating with, who you're connecting with. When you're an entrepreneur, you are the face of your entire brand. And when you're working for a company, it's all those one interactions that you have, not only you, but other people have. So as you're an entrepreneur and hopefully your business grows and you have people that are working for you, it's now, okay, how can we instill what I want, what my beliefs are in the brand? Be sure that it still is coming off that way.
Well, and that's absolutely key, because if you are not out there building your personal brand, nobody else is really going to go out of the way to do it. I mean, right. I hate to say it, as much as we like to believe we're living in this Facebookian world where everybody's holding hands, singing kumbaya, The reality is, especially on social media, it's almost more crowded. It's a bigger marketplace online all the time, 24/7, 365. And if you, in what you do, where you do it, how you do it, is not getting out there, you're leaving opportunity for someone else to take that attention or to take that opportunity away from you. And I see that way, way too much. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. So right now you're stuck in Wisconsin, and I look outside and we're going to be getting snow later today, maybe tomorrow.
Great.
Are you thinking about moving someplace a little bit more temperate?
Actually, yeah. We love Wisconsin because of family here, because that's really important. And that's part of my personal brand, right? So Wisconsin, unfortunately, because of the snow and stuff, but because of family, it still is number one. Florida, we love the Gulf Coast of Florida. And we've been with this latest project I've been working on is the Smoky Mountains. So we really found that Tennessee is a beautiful area. So we're really looking in that area too, and we're open to things. So we're kind of like, my husband just celebrated his birthday yesterday. We're moving into a new decade there, and kind of saying, you know what? You're never too old. You're never too young to follow what your dream is, because you don't know how long you're going to have, and you don't know, you know, you might as well seize the day and make the most of it. So heck, we're up for adventure.
Well, as everybody should be and could be, especially if you build your personal brand within your area of endeavor, whether it's, and I know you mostly from the resorts and hospitality operational side of things.
Right.
Are you looking to leverage your experience into a new position in that area, or are you looking for something totally new?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny too, because now getting into this, I haven't put a resume together in over 20 years, right?
Right. Well, you haven't had to, right?
Right. And that's all personal branding too. So it's like, okay. And I've helped a half a dozen people with their resumes and personal branding, because that's like your spot on first thing getting out there of saying, this is me and I want to stand out and I want to get interviews. And with that, it's also mindset, right? So you've got like this, the overall, what your resume looks like, what you're going to present to people as what your image is. And then it also falls into social media. But the other thing that's huge as an entrepreneur, especially, or even, you know, working in a corporate environment, is your mindset. So at first I was kind of saying, okay, well, where should I go? I don't know. I should really stay pigeonholed. And then I thought, why? I'm in the resort industry. There's resorts everywhere. So really think about especially if you're moving into a switch, choose what you're passionate about and do it. And one of the reasons why I chose to really step back into this is because I love being a leader. I love helping people. So yeah, I'm looking for a general manager role where I can help other people grow into their full potential and help them create their own personal brands to improve their life.
As I recall, you are not a shrinking violet when it comes to moving someplace for a length of time and taking a resort concept from scraped earth to opening day from scratch, basically. So you're soup to nuts. I mean, and you know, if I'm looking at you and saying, what are the key aspects of your personal brand? It would be fearlessness. You know, it would be total commitment, and it would be comprehensive attention to detail with a goal of excellent service delivery.
Wow. Thank you. I need to have you help me reframe my brand, but yeah, thank you. That's great.
I think that that's the important thing because, you know, when people ask those stupid questions about, tell me the one thing that you don't like to do, or what is the hardest thing you've ever done? What they're really saying is, I see all the kind of nuts and bolts questions about where you've worked and how long you were there and stuff, but I want to get a sense for your character. And character is that thing, and I'm the father of three daughters, so I say this all the time, character is what you do when no one's watching. Your
exactly.
True character. Your true character and your true value based on my external eye is not that I know you know how to talk to guys on D8 Caterpillar tractors on how to move dirt, although that's part of it. I know that's that you also know how to talk to suppliers and perhaps put on your baseball bat attitude if they aren't delivering and stuff like that. It's not necessarily the tasks that you perform. It's the comprehensive way in which you do it. So I always like to say that personal branding comes down to who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And so if I'm talking to you about your search for a new job, it's like really nail down who you are, what you do, and how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to just list tasks.
Right.
You know, who cares if you know Word, Microsoft Word, or Office Suite, all that stuff. That's tying your shoelaces. What you need to do is focus on the fact that you're able to take Resort A from groundbreaking on January 15th to, you know, grand opening on August 15th. And by the way, the return on investment of that build was XYZ, you know, or the fact that you opened not only on time, but under budget. Mm-hmm. Those are the things. If I'm going to hire you, that's what I care about. You know, I don't need to know how you bury the bodies to get this stuff done. I just need to know that it's going to get done.
Right.
Well, cool. I mean, so let's talk about you as your, again, as you mentioned yourself, 20 years, first time doing a resume again. How are you approaching that whole thing from, you know, blank page moving forward?
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, I think over the last couple of years where I did more consulting and was really building that personal brand and stepping out of the corporate environment and saying, okay, I need to reconnect with community. Now I'm reconnecting with corporate community and really getting out there. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're searching for a job, if you're a current employee, you still have to do the do. Right? So you can't just put a resume together and sit back and be like, oh, that's good. People are going to find me. Just in the same way that you can't start a business plan as an entrepreneur and say, okay, this is great. I've got this. I'm going to do coaching or, you know, whatever it is and just put it out there and then people will just automatically flock to you. There's still work that needs to be done. So putting a strategic plan together and making it my full-time job, right? To go out there and make sure that things are happening in the realm that I want it to happen. Just like if you are an entrepreneur just starting out, you need to have that strategic plan together on what are you going to do on a daily basis? How are you getting up? It's very, very difficult to work from home on your own and stay motivated and focused and actually do tasks to move that scoreboard forward. But it's essential as much as, you know, putting together your website and your social media and all of this, you still have to have those daily actions in order to push your business forward or push anything forward in life.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Let's talk about the difference between strategy and tactics, because we oftentimes people bandy the word strategy around or compare it to tactics. And a lot of people maybe think they know what it is, but they, in my experience, they really don't. What is your definition of strategy, especially when it comes to your desire to create the next career step of your dreams?
Well, I'm a huge proponent of Stephen Covey, the Four Disciplines of Execution. And I think that in order to have a strategy, there's a couple of things that you need. One is that vision of where you want to end up, right? So you begin with the end in mind, then utilizing the Four Disciplines of Execution. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, cleaning your house or building your brand or looking for a job or getting some project done at work. You still need to figure out what your top goals are, and you can't have a list of 1,000 goals because nothing will get done. So you have to focus on those top goals, knowing that you may have more beneath that, but then you need to translate those goals into specific action. So that's where your tactical will come into it. You're actually getting things done. I like to say I have a PhD in GSD, and I like to work with people that have a PhD in GSD.
And the S in GSD is what other people call getting things done, but it's a slightly different word. Yeah, stuff.
Stuff done.
Getting stuff done.
Right, getting stuff done.
It's funny because you mentioned Stephen Covey, and for those of us old enough to remember the Franklin Covey Day Planner and all the industry that was wrapped around that thing, it's been supplanted perhaps by digital tools, but never totally gotten rid of, because I'm sorry, putting pen to paper is significantly different than me putting up some more Trello cards saying, these are things I should be doing. So I use Trello, which is an online digital, I think of it as file cards almost. You can swap them on lists and things like that. But I find that even though I'm using Trello, I'm still going to look on my Trello list and then write down the 5 things that I definitely want to get done today. Now, the strategy may exist on the Trello, you know, the big Trello vision, but the actual tactics I pull from it come down into a 5-entry list that I am bound and determined to get done by the end of the day based on my strategic goals.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the day in the life of Melissa Blettner. As you approach, well, but I think everybody works a little bit differently. So it's really instructive to take a look over the shoulder of somebody and say, okay, so Melissa, you're essentially starting a little bit from scratch with a tremendous background of excellence and execution and reputation and all that stuff. But still, you're starting from scratch, girl. What do you do on a daily basis? I mean, starting from whether you make yourself tea or coffee in the morning to grabbing that whiskey on the rocks at night, what do you do to, one, identify your strategy, and then two, execute the tactics that are going to advance the ball on your dream field, if you will?
So that's a good question. Let's see. Usually I make the coffee the night before so that it's ready when I get up.
Bingo. That's a strategic, tactical, brilliant move.
All right. So I'll wake up and I can smell the coffee. I also savor the fact that I don't have to get up with an alarm clock right now because I know that I'm going to. So I sleep until I get up, which is usually pretty early. Anyways, I get up about 6:30, 7 o'clock, grab coffee. I spend time with my husband. We make sure that we make our bed in the morning because then I know I've got something done. So kind of that type of thing. I spend time, just quiet time in the morning, about 15, 20 minutes, just collecting myself and connecting and reading. And then I bust into what my goals are for the day. And sometimes they're personal goals. Sometimes they're goals that are moving my strategic plan forward. And usually I have a list of 4 to 5 things I'm going to be accomplishing for the day and put a time frame in there. And I'd be sure at this point in time too, to chunk out a couple of hours each day for family to be able to be there and be connected. One of the things that had happened when I first didn't have a job anymore, I was at home all the time. I was running everywhere all the time. So it was almost like I was on a hamster wheel. So I've slowed down, spent a little bit more time being deliberate. And every so often, it depends on what the major project is. I like to work in 90-day chunks. So I'll put a 90-day action plan together, be it whether I'm working for a company doing a consulting project or whether I'm doing some type of a personal project that's moving my business forward. I'll go ahead and figure out what I want to accomplish over the next 90 days. I'll break those down into goals and then I'll execute those. And about every 90 days or 30 days, I'll sit down and reevaluate. And I did this even, you know, while I was working in my corporate career, I do the same thing, work in 90-day chunks. And eventually, you know, you go back and you look at your big laundry list of things and you go, huh, well, I got a lot of stuff done. So that's good. You're on track. So by setting that intention first, and then I finish up. Sometimes I take some calls into the evening, sometimes not. My husband and I play a lot of backgammon.
Yeah.
So we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together, which is a great time for us. And just really savoring these moments when I'm at home because I know I'm going to be back into the workforce, but I'm excited about that too. So that's kind of my day.
And the thing that I love about it is it's always cognizant of the fact that you've created a strategy. You've got a list of tactics that are designed to advance the ball down the field, if you will. And you constantly are referring back and forth from strategy to tactics, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure there's a fair amount of calibration on the way too, as, well, I thought it was going to be exactly this, but no, it needs to change a little bit because of whatever. There's always some flexibility built into the system.
Yeah, 100%. And that's part of the 7 habits of highly effective people too, is course redirection, right? Because you can lay the best laid plans and, you know, opening all those resorts around the country over the years. I had somebody that I had worked with that said, you can't put a plan together because everything always gets messed up anyway. Well, you have to put a plan together and you have to know that when it gets messed up, you can course redirect.
Right.
You've got to start with plans.
There is a, oh, how's it go? There's a truism that comes out of the military that's something like, no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy. Yeah, of course, because the enemy has a vote in this fight and they're going to do whatever and you've got to move things around. But by having that,
right,
by having that plan, you've got all the pieces on the chessboard. Mixing metaphors here with battle and chess, although chess really is a battle. You've got all your pieces on the chessboard. You may need to deploy them differently based on what's happening that day. And, you know, we've all felt that, whether it's, oh, my car broke down, so all of a sudden everything I had planned goes out the window. However, there are things I can do on my laptop while I'm sitting at the dealership and they're fixing the car. So I'm going to get those things done rather than, well, I guess this is the time I'll hit Instagram and just look at other people having a great life.
And ultimately, yeah, you can't control. I mean, one of the things that I couldn't control when I was leaving my last career, and then I had a couple of years there. And in that couple of years, we found out in the course of about 3 days that my husband had to have open heart surgery.
Wow.
And then everything gets set aside and you just say, okay, this is my priority. So all strategic plans that I had going on at that particular time in my life and in my career, it wasn't important. Nothing mattered at all. The only thing that I needed to focus on was making sure that he got through this.
Right.
And that he got home and that he got better. And that's where the backgammon came into play.
Yeah. Well, you
right?
Know, exactly.
Now you've got a new thing that's happening.
Well, exactly. But things like that that happen have a tendency to focus your not only your brain, but your entire life on that which is truly most important to you. And I'm sorry that happened, but at the same time, it's almost a little bit of a blessing because
it's absolutely a blessing
because it forces you out of a concrete pattern of life into one that must be much more fluid. And, you know, I'll speak again for myself. that fluid lifestyle is a whole lot more amenable to the way I want to live than,
right,
you know, time to make the donuts every morning, you know, and know exactly what you're eating for lunch and when you're leaving today. I hate that.
Right. And it's interesting too. I just read an article about a leader. So I've been reading a lot of leadership articles lately. And there was a leader who is a manager over a team of people, and he was leaving work at 2 o'clock on a Friday. And rather than saying, I've got a meeting or whatever, he said, I'm going to watch my daughter in her play.
Right.
Because I'm human and I want to be able to do that. And I want to be honest and authentic with my team. And that's, I think, what we need more of. Right. I think that that's now coming around. But I think that there was a time in corporate world, especially, that you felt like you were handcuffed and you could never leave that ball and chain desk without making up something of where you were going, instead of being authentic and saying, a family's first and I got this thing I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God. You're causing flashbacks in my professional career.
I know. Right.
Well, we're coming about to the end of this first episode, and I want to... Oh, my God. Who's that?
That's Willow.
Willow. Oh, my gosh. So here we are. Of course, this is an audio podcast, but I do have to tell anybody listening that Melissa is showing me her doggy, Willow, as Tilly is jumping all over me, which is a great way to say that this is about time to wrap up this episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Now, we're going to continue our conversation next week. However, I would like to say to everybody, I would invite you to join Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity, ask to join, and you are in. And I want to invite you to listen to all the podcasts of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And if you like it for sure. Subscribe, refer, and especially review the podcast, because that'll help other people find us. But for now, I'm the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'm DP Knutton, and she is
Melissa Blettner.
And we'll be talking to you again next week. Bye-bye.